to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Be evasive.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
And Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, and there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
No, that's right.
I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
Revolution Radio. Good evening. It is 8 p.m. Eastern, and you are listening to Studio A. Get ready to lock in for the next 2 hours. Ladies and gentlemen, Watchmen on the Wall with your host, The Watchman.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition, actually episode 7 of the Watchman on the Wall broadcast. I'm the Watchman here on freedomslips.com, freest place to be, revolution.radio. And we're glad you have joined us to another edition of the Watchman on the Wall broadcast, which can be heard every pagan Sunday night, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we're excited about what is happening. Someone said, "Hey, Watchman, you acting pretty excited." I said, "I ain't acting excited. I just am excited." People said, "Well, why? There's so much trouble in the world today." Well, yeah. I mean, I'm sad about the trouble, and I'm sad about the people being just inhumanely treated, and just so many just tragic situations. But in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the storm, we still have the joy. Because the world only give you happiness, and that's fleeting temporarily. It'll just dissipate, go away. But joy stays with you, even through the midst of the struggle, even through the trial. The joy of Yah is my strength. That's what the book of Nehemiah states. And it's not just trivial statements. It's like real. It's a real, tangible, genuine spiritual feeling that even when you don't feel good, you still can know that, you know, it's like the old saying, you know that you know that you know, you know, it's that kind of a, but even deeper. But it's amazing what's happening in the world today, in all the events, the current events. A lot has been written, a lot has been reported. In fact, a lot has been underreported. It seems like that's the case generally. It's not what's sometimes reported. It's what's not being said, what's not being covered, informing the masses or the people. But I'm excited because today is the 15th day of the fourth moon for true time to watch and pray. Watch the days, the seasons, the weeks, the moons, the seasons. There's, as we talked about a few broadcasts back, there's four seasons in a year, right? There's 4 weeks in a moon. People say, oh, there isn't 4 weeks in a moon or a month. But there's 29 or 30 or 31 days. How can that be 4 weeks? 4 times 7 is 28. Watch me know that's your math, right? Well, analyze it. If we go by true time, there is 4 weeks in every moon. That's how you get the word month, as we talked about a few weeks back. But today is the second weekly true Sabbath of the fourth moon, or the second. We're halfway through the first month of summer, true summer. I know the calendar, the pagan calendar on the wall says June 20th. June 21st was the first day of summer. I think it's the 20th, they'll say, the summer solstice. But it's actually by the moon, sun, and stars, not just the sun only, as we talked about. We covered this, I think, on our third episode. Now we're on episode 7. We want to cover the weekly Sabbath and the relevancy in which the time in which we live and how it correlates. Because there is a prophetic text where the Messiah, Yahweh of Nazareth, he tells his people, and that's anybody that he draws, and actually you can choose to be chosen. Because a lot of people do ask that question. They'll ask, you know, how do I know if I'm chosen? You know, well, you can choose to be chosen by your free will. You have free will, and no one can force you. Again, the Most High Messiah Yahweh of Nazareth is the ultimate gentleman. He's not going to force his way. He's going to stand at the door of your heart and knock. So it's a simple invitation that he's always trying to get a hold of our attention. But he stated in one passage in Matthew, pray that you're, and he's talking about the end of days. And a lot of people want to know prophecy now. They want to know the end times. They want to know the end of days scenarios that we're living in. You know, Revelation 6, we talked about 2 Ezra last week, chapters 15 and 16. In Second Baruch, also known as the Apocalypse of Baruch, chapters, I think, 27 through about 30, there's a passage in there that tells us that the whole world will have an end time sign to know that they're in the end of days. Whether they believe or not, they're going to know that this is an unprecedented event that the whole world has experienced together, even in their separate nations or separate countries or separate cities and towns and so forth. And because Baruch asked the Most High just that question, he was talking about the end of days. He said there was 12 parts to the world's culmination, or the world's beginning and ending as we know it. Of course, the earth will remain and be re-terraformed. Of course, the Most High will do just what he said that what he would do. But he said there's 12 parts, and when he told this to Baruch, this was during the time when Yisrael, or Judah, the true Yada, not the Jews that say they are and are not, but of the synagogue of Satan, not the Ashkenazi Edomite Jews that have occupied Jerusalem. They've rejected the Mashiach. They've done dastardly deeds. We get that. We understand that. And yes, they're underneath the Roman rule, the papal court Jews. You know, we the people, is we the papacy we talked about. Well, this sign that the Most High told Baruch, he stated to him when he asked him about the end of days, and the Most High told him there's 12 parts to the beginning and to the end of the world as we know it. And he said that 10 and a half parts have already culminated. And this was during the time of Babylon's conquest of Jerusalem. And he's telling Baruch, who was the scribe to Jeremiah the prophet, you know. And Baruch was told by the Most High that 10 and a half parts of 12 parts is already culminated before the end of days begins. So 1.5 parts remain from the time of Baruch's insight the Most High gave him, which was approximately around 580 to 600 BC, if you want to get a timeline on this. And so how far is that? We're talking, wow, 2,600 years ago? And there was 1.5 parts left? I mean, think about it. The Most High told Baruch and said that there would be a sign. Because Baruch says, well, was this end time sign to know that we're in the end of days? Will it be just in one part of the world? They'll know about it. Just one corner of the earth. Will they'll know about it only? Will they just know about it, just them only? Or will it be like, you know, a quarter of the world or a half of the world? Will they know it? And the Most High said, no, the whole world will know that they've entered into a unprecedented time the earth has never known before. And you don't have to believe or not believe. And everyone will acknowledge that this is unprecedented since beginning of pagan March. Kind of I was getting the wind of it in February. Of course, it started in January, December, actually, in China, November, just, you know, January, November, December, January. And in about mid-February, I was like, I know, I'm getting out of here. So I picked up and we left. So here on Turtle Island, where we were. And so I felt it. I knew something. And, of course, all of you probably knew something. Even back then, this is a very, very educated audience, probably the most educated on freedomslips.com, radio, revolution.radio. And so this sign, the Most High told Jeremiah, wouldn't happen just in one quarter of the world. Or, you know, you could, like, World War II didn't affect everybody. Not every country was involved. World War I, not all the countries were involved. Okay, they call it World War I, World War II, but not every country was involved. You notice that in Switzerland, there's never a war ever breaking out there. You ever wonder why? That's where, follow the money, honey, right? Follow the money, honey. No war is there. No, but COVID's there, though, isn't it? Oh, really? Yeah. So get this. Let's think about this for a minute. No place in the history of mankind can you say that an event has happened since the time of Baruch. Yeah, we can talk about the flood, but that was way before Baruch. Okay, we can talk about that. But that was way before the Most High gave the sign to Baruch that there would be this one sign from that point on, from 600 BC or so, approximately all the way to the end of days, that there would be a culminating event where the whole world would just wake up and say, wait a minute, we're all in this together. And we're all from different countries and we speak different languages and we all have different cultures. And yet we're all experiencing the same thing, pretty much. Right? Yeah, absolutely. So this sign, it's in 2nd Baruch. Read 2nd Baruch chapters. I encourage you, chapters 27, 28, 29, and 30. You will see, you can go to any search engine, just type in 2nd Baruch PDF. Second Baruch PDF, and you'll find a copy of that text I'm referring to, and just read it, and you'll see that the Most High gave an indication to Baruch when Baruch asked him, would just part of the world know that the end of days has began, when, you know, just a quarter of the earth or just a little bit here on the earth? And no, the Most High said, no, the whole world will know that we've entered into a unprecedented, once in a world time experience. And let's be honest, it correlates straight up with Revelation 6, where, you know, the white horse, not to beat a dead horse, you know, pun intended, but remember that white horse? You know, I love horses. You know, all dogs go to heaven. Remember that movie? I love that cartoon movie. All animals go to heaven. That's right. Hallelujah. Because he comes back with the white horse. He came riding a donkey the first coming, in his first coming in the flesh, but he's coming back this time with the war white stallion type as horse, the second coming. So yeah, so horses are coming out of heaven and he's riding it, so obviously animals are in heaven. Absolutely. So here's what we're trying to get at, what we're trying to state, is that this red horse, or this white horse, then a red horse, then a black horse, then this pale horse, you know, the four horsemen of the apocalypse that we've talked about at Jacker and I and a bunch of others on this network. And again, not to quote unquote beat a dead horse of this subject matter. The point is that this white horse rider in Revelation 6:2 is given a bow, and it is also going forth conquering with a corona, you know, a crown, which is Spanish, the English for crown, And the Spanish for crown is corona. And he says this corona is given to him to conquer the world and goes forth conquering. So the whole world's experience has been conquered. So that would correlate beautifully with this text in, it's a Hebrew text. It's not in your Bible. It's not in your scriptures. It's in the word of Yahweh. That's right, in the original Hebrew text. Second Baruch, and it's chapters 27 through 30 or so. Get the whole context. Chapters aren't long there. And you'll see that the Most High gave Baruch this sign, that it would be, the whole world would recognize this sign, this corona, if you will, that Revelation 6 later on tells us and elaborates further, that we'd hit this end of days scenario. So the Most High said in the last days, the Most High Messiah of Nazareth, he said, pray that your flight not be in the wintertime, neither on the Sabbath day, speaking of the end of days, end times. So, because a lot of people say, the Sabbath is no need. You know, there's no need for the Sabbath, watchman. Why are you going there? Well, the fourth commandment of the Ten Commandments is the only command that has to do with time. It has to do with true time, and that is Sabbath, the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it set apart. So if the Sabbath day was not needed in the end of days, and just like the majority of Christianity tells you, and they're telling you a lie, well, the Sabbath is any day I choose, and the Sabbath is done away with, that weekly Sabbath is done away with. Well, if that's true, well, then why did the Most High Messiah that you say you believe in tell you and I and all the rest of us, ladies and gentlemen, to remember the Sabbath, to keep it set apart in the fourth commandment? Then he said in prophecy in the book of Matthew, in the end of days, he says, pray, you know, on that time, that end of day, when that end of times begin, pray that your flight be not in the wintertime, because it's hard to travel in snow and ice and sleet and slush. Yeah, you don't want to be traveling, ideally, in those conditions, but neither on the Sabbath day. Because why? On the Sabbath day, generally, you don't travel unless you're doing good and helping others and so forth. But generally, you would stay within your dwellings, within your confines of your own gates, of your property. So that's why he would state this statement in the end of time, that he would say, pray that your flight not be in the wintertime, neither on the Sabbath day. And that's in the book of Matthew, or in Hebrew, the book of Matanyah. And he tells us that it's a relevant thing for the end of days. Pray that your flight not be in the winter. Don't want to be in bad weather and traveling. But neither on the Sabbath day. Because why? The Sabbath day is to be kept in the confines of your property. Yes, if you have animals, yes, you need to milk them, or you'll be torturing them if you don't take care of them on the Sabbath. Yes, you can do that. Because a lot of people get so stringent, say, oh, I can't help my fellow man on the Sabbath. I got to stay. And they get too religious. You see, that's the problem. You got to stay spiritually minded in the spiritual context of the government and the commandments and judgments and testimonies of Yah. That's why it's relevant, because you can't be in two kingdoms at the same time, even though we've all tried to. Yeah, we've all tried. I'm guilty. We're all guilty of it. Yeah, we are. So the Most High says, hey, you gotta be in my kingdom in the end. Don't you want to be in his kingdom in the end? Don't you want to be, you know, like John Wayne says, on the right side of history? Don't you want to be on the right side of the mountain, as I would say it, as quoting the Tanakh, where there's two mountains to choose. You can go on the Mount of Blessing, or you can go on the Mount of Cursing. And it's hard to be on two mountains at the same time. It's impossible. In fact, it's not hard. It's just virtually impossible. Unless these mountains are standing, you know, really up against each other, and you got one foot on one side and one on the other. But really, he's saying, choose you this day who or what side of the mountain you want to be on, the Mount of Blessing or Mount of Cursing. So the relevancy is that the Sabbath day is needed because it's a covenant sign. Did you know when you get your day off from your boss, you know, the day he delegates for you to get off your shift or your job, he's basically telling you when to rest. And if you get Saturday and Sunday perpetually, how come you don't still feel the rest that you're craving? You ever feel that? I know I used to. It's because we're not resting when our body's calling us to rest on the true Sabbath. The true Sabbath is not Friday like the Muslims lie and say. The true Sabbath isn't Saturday like the Jews and Seventh-day Adventists lie and say. And the Sabbath is not Sunday like Christianity says. They're all three wrong. The Sabbath day, in other words, you can't find the seventh day of the week Sabbath unless you find the first day of the full new moon first. In other words, we talked about this. We did a broadcast on episode 3 about true time, but we never touched on the Sabbath, if you recall. And that's why this broadcast, I felt to cover this, because it takes a little bit more time to deal with the weekly Sabbath than all the other aspects generally of time, because there's so much more raging controversy of it. So Friday's not the Sabbath perpetually. Saturday's not the Sabbath perpetually. And Sunday is not perpetually the Sabbath. And what I mean by perpetually, in other words, those days of the week were never dedicated to be perpetually the Most High Sabbath, because he said he wouldn't share his glory with another, and he wouldn't share his Sabbath day perpetually with another day dedicated to idolatrous practice. Because Friday was dedicated, as just a recap from a few weeks back, Friday was dedicated to Venus, dedicated to Frigga. It was also dedicated to the fish Friday, you know, the fish fry for Fridays. That's why they call it Friday, you see. And so Saturday, of course, was dedicated to Saturn, the planet, or, you know, as in Hebrew, the word planet means wandering stars. Okay. And so the planet or the wandering star Saturn was also known as Kronos. Okay. Which is like, that's how we get the word chronicles and chronology, you know, first in time, first is first in line. Yeah. First in time was Saturn. And it was originally the first day of the pagan week, originally before it was transferred to be the counterfeit again, pagan seventh day of the week that you see on the calendar on your wall. Sunday was obviously dedicated to sun worship. And so Satan had to have a day. You know, he had to copycat the Most High. Of course, he couldn't really, you know, be the Most High. He can only try to be like, and still fall so far short. And isn't it amazing? He had the actual thought that he could take over heaven. I mean, really? I mean, really? How can the creation ever defeat the creator? It's just an oxymoron. It's just, it's impossible. It's funny how a lot of people, they believe in the reality of Satanism, but then they reject the Most High. You know, they believe in one devil, but oh no, there's no creator. Okay. Okay. But not. So when you look at Saturn, the day of Satan, or the day of Saturnalia, the day of Saturday, S-A-T-Y-R, also was a goat, sexual fertility rites symbol as well. And, you know, the goat's head represented satanic ritual symbols. Saturday, you know, it's Judaism, Messianic Judaism, and Judaism. And Seventh-day Adventists think, well, it's the Saturday, it's the seventh day of the week. Watchmen, you don't know what you're talking about. Oh, really? It's the seventh day of the week? No, excuse me. Go back in time and you'll find that Saturday used to be the first day of the Roman week before Rome changed it to the seventh day. Because Daniel said that they would think, Rome would think the change, they couldn't really change it. They could only think, you know, give you a time warp, huh, lady horse? Thanks for that. That was a good video you sent me, or you sent in chat that I looked at. They could only give you a time warp. It wasn't true time. Saturnalia, you know, pagan Christmas, you know, the day of Saturnalia, Saturn, Satan. It's all phonetically there. So Saturday used to be Kronos, or is known as Kronos, first which meant first in time, first in line. So Saturday used to be the first day of the week historically, and it is a fact in history. So when these people to come off and say, well, you know, like the Jews and the Messianic Jews and the Seventh Day Adventist folks say, oh, seventh day of the week. No, don't get me wrong. I respect what you're trying to do, trying to keep the Sabbath. Don't get me wrong. I respect that you're at least acknowledging the need to keep the Sabbath, but it's just not the true Sabbath day. Because if you're going to do it, no, don't get me wrong. Again, I used to do Friday night, Saturday until about 20 years ago when the Most High revealed to me I was wrong. Yes, I've been wrong. We've all been wrong. And I have no problem admitting when I'm wrong. And we have to stay at least pliable to and at least acknowledge when we make mistakes. It's an honorable heart to at least acknowledge that, hey, if I'm wrong, show me where I'm wrong. And if you got the evidence, hey, I'll switch. I'll change for the sake of the truth. You know, again, like I've stated many times, it's not about an issue of who's right or who's wrong. It's about what's right and what's wrong. What's the truth, right? That's what everybody really wants. I hope, anyways. Unless they love the lies, which the dark side seems to revel in. Shame on them, right? So Saturday was never the true Sabbath day perpetually. Now, when I told you today at the start of the broadcast that today was the weekly Sabbath, I'm not lying to you. I'm telling you the truth. It's the weekly, and it's not because it's Sunday perpetually, okay? Because Sunday perpetually is not the weekly Sabbath either. The Sabbath just so happens to be on the eighth day of the full moon. When you see that full yellow moon, that's the first day, that next morning. And then you count six working days. You see that full yellow moon. When you get to the seventh day of the week, which is the eighth day of the month, you'll see a half waning full moon, a half moon. That's right. And it'll be waning or diminishing. And then if you count six more working days after that, because each day of the month, you never say what day of the sun is it, you always say what day of the month is it, right? Because each day of the month has a moon's phase, it looks different each day. And so today is the 15th, the second Sabbath, and the moon is invisible and dark. And that's where we're at right now, the fourth moon, 15th day, second Sabbath of the fourth moon. And we'll be right back on the Watchman on the Wall broadcast here on the Watchman on freedomslips.com. Freest place to be, revolutionradio.com. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of
be
more...
Be quiet.
I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have. Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, stupidity.
I'll do you for that. What? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. and you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
I will defend myself against their tyranny. Number three is my radio broadcast. I'm squarely in front of the public all the time, and they all know what's going on.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
Hello, my name is John Wayne. And I do a broadcast here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Freedom and fear are at war.
And folks, I assure you, we are in defense condition one. As we journey perilously through this paradigm that we currently reside in, and I ask that you join me every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for the Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
We shall never surrender.
All right, thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
And we're back here on the Watchmen on the Wall broadcast. I'm the Watchman. I'm glad you tuned in to be with us on this second weekly Shabbat of the fourth moon. And that's where we left off before the break, is that the second Sabbath of each full new moon being new moon day, not a weekly Sabbath, but a new moon day, starts off with that big, big yellow type, golden type moon, Yalrik in Hebrew, to be yellow. Also another name for moon in Hebrew is Yalrik. Of course, the most popular generally is Kodesh in Hebrew. But the first Sabbath will always be a half full moon on the eighth day of the fourth moon. That's where we're at now, on the 15th now. But last broadcast, it was the eighth day of the fourth moon, which they called July 12th. That was actually 4/8, which the eighth day of the moon is always the seventh day of the week. So just kind of paint a picture here visually. I know we don't got a visual monitor, but now that we're on the second Sabbath of the fourth moon, you'll see the moon invisible. It's the dark moon's phases that are invisible. And the dark moon's phases that are invisible are usually 3 to 5 days where you can't see the moon. That's how you know you're in the middle of a month, a true month, that is. Okay? Not July 1st, not starting July 1st, but when the full new moon rose on July 12th was the first Sabbath, and then July 5th was the new full moon day and the first day of summer, because the fourth moon kicks off summer, by the way. So July 5th was technically the beginning of summer. It was the fourth new full moon. And when you saw that big yellow moon, that very, very next morning is the first day of a new moon or a new month. And so now we're on the 15th. We're halfway through the moon's lunation, or halfway through the month, and you're seeing the dark phases of the moon from 3 to 5 days or so. And that's how you know you're halfway through a month. Just like when we were younger, we used to go to the matinees, and halfway through the movie, all the lights would go off and it'd be complete darkness. You remember those days? Halfway through a matinee, let you know when it got complete dark and they shut the lights, cut the camera off, you were halfway through the movie. Well, when you see the dark phases of the moon, it lets you know the Most High gives you a picture that you're halfway there, done with that month. Similar, just to kind of give you a corny analogy, but it fits. I hope it's, hope we're painting some word pictures, hopefully, just to kind of give you a picture in your mind. And so the second Sabbath will be a dark moon Sabbath. And then next week, you'll see now a half full moon, but now it'll be on the other side. Like the first Sabbath of the month, you'll see a half full moon that's diminishing or waning or growing smaller. Well, the third Sabbath on the 22nd, which will be, again, pagan next Sunday to translate, not perpetually Sunday, because next month it'll probably fall on a Monday or Tuesday. We'll know more as we get closer to the full new moon, because the moon's lunation is going to be either 29 or 30 days. Never 31. There's never 31 days in a month, in a true month. Now, in a commercial month, yeah, like July and August and May and all those pagan commercial months, yeah, but that's devoid of true time. That's the time warp, as we alluded to again. So when you see the full new moon, that's the starting point and the reset of every month. So this month, the Sabbath, just so the new full moon and the Sabbath happened to fall on with the pagan calendar to translate on, is Sunday. It's not because of Sunday. Again, like I stated, next month it'll probably fall on a Monday. And most likely it's going to probably fall on Tuesday the way it's looking so far. And so perpetually it's not Tuesday, the Sabbath, but it's because the full new moon, you see. See, the calendar on your wall, that's, again, not a true month. It doesn't use the sun, moon, or stars, and yet they're calling them months, as we've talked about prior, on prior broadcasts. So when you see the third Sabbath, it'll be a half full growing moon where it's getting bigger. It's waxing. It's increasing its size, the moon's size. It's going to be a half full moon, and the light will be switched on the other side like the first Sabbath of the moon. It'll be a half full moon, but the light will be on the other side of the third, comparing it to the third. Because the second Sabbath is always dark. There's always going to be a darkness to the moon. You won't see it. It's how you know you're halfway through the month, right? So the third Sabbath next week, again, it'll be a half full moon, and it'll be increasing and growing, waxing, getting bigger. Okay. And then the last Sabbath, yes, there's 4 weeks in a moon, as we mentioned. So there's four Sabbaths in a month, truly, in a true time sense, sun, moon, and star. The last Sabbath, or the fourth Sabbath of each lunation or moon, because it takes like 29 and 5, 3, 5, 4 days and change for the moon to make its circumference around the earth. Because the sun, moon, and stars, that's time. That's true time, motion, and movement. Remember, time is motion and movement of what? The sun, moon, and stars. And so the last Sabbath, the fourth Sabbath, the 29th day of the moon, we're on the 15th of the moon of the fourth moon now. Next broadcast next week will be the 22nd of the fourth moon, and it'll be a half waxing. And then when we get to that last Sabbath of the moon, each last Sabbath of each moon's lunation, you'll see a white appearing to be full. Almost, I mean, it'll look like it's completely full, but it'll be more of a white distinct color, a white full moon. Okay, it's almost completely full. It looks like it is, but when it turns yellow the very next day or two, because it could be 29 or 30 days again, the 28th day of the moon, you kind of get an idea. It looks like it's still growing and growing. The 29th day is always the Sabbath, so you know it ain't the new moon yet, but it'll be the 30th day. If it needs another day to start the full new moon, you'll have a 30th day. Okay, and then the first day of it, every new full moon, you'll see that moon begin to wane again. See, if it's waxing and still waxing, then you know it hasn't occurred yet. That signal or that beacon, that switching up to being the new full moon. So, again, most likely it'll probably for the next moon, next full new moon, it'll probably be on Tuesday. That's what it looks like. Just to kind of give you a heads up. So the Sabbath and the new moon days five times in a month, there's four weekly Sabbaths, right? 4 weeks in a moon, and there's that new moon day, and a new moon day is never the seventh day of the week. You see, that's important to keep that in mind. The new, because a lot of people say, "Oh, Friday night to Saturday is always the Sabbath, Watchman. How do you have any evidence?" Okay, let's go over some of the evidence. Okay, in the book of Numbers, chapters 28, okay, and 29, it talks about that the new moon sacrifice was twice the amount than the weekly Sabbath sacrifice. And that's not talking about anything right now that's relevant, because we're the temple now. Okay, there is no temple, okay, to go to. There's no religion to convert to or building to go visit, as I've told you over and over. So there is no quote-unquote temple other than we are. Our bodies are the temple. So, but during that era, and that will be restored later on, but it's not happening right now because there is no – Yah doesn't dwell in temples made with hands anymore, okay, currently. And so during that time in Numbers 28 and 29, there was a sacrifice that was required twice the amount on the new moon day versus the weekly Sabbath day. Okay, so in other words, the new moon day and the Sabbath day could not share time and space. It can't share time and space. In other words, when Friday night comes, for those that say Friday night to Saturday sundown is the Sabbath, well, nature decries against you and speaks against that position because, and I know I used to hold that position for a long time, but I realized it was wrong about 20 years ago, as I stated. And I was willing to correct the error. And that's what, like I said earlier, it's a good thing to always be able to correct the error when truth is presented. So we did just that. So when that new moon rises on a Friday night, and it does occur like twice, once or twice a year, it'll be on a Friday night, that new, to translate on pagan time, you'll see that full new moon sometimes rise on a Friday night. So Judaism, Messianic Judaism, Seventh-day Adventists would say, oh, it's the Sabbath day. But nature, the luminaries are saying, no, 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 no. The new moon is rising. And the Sabbath day and the new moon can't share time and space, can't be the same day. Well, how do you know that? Well, Numbers 28 and 29, as we allude to, teach that there was twice the amount of animal sacrifice that was required for the new moon day than there was for the weekly Sabbath day. So it obviously shows you that it can't be sharing time and space. The new moon day and the Sabbath day are two distinct days, two separate requirements were needed. So therefore it couldn't share time and space, could not be the same day. You know, the first day of the month is never the seventh day of the week, and the seventh day of the week is never the new moon day, first day of the month. Okay. So natures and the luminaries are debunking the myth that Friday night to Saturday is the Sabbath. The luminaries and natures debunking Islam's fake seventh day of the week when they say it's Thursday to Friday. Okay, that's debunked by nature. Same thing applies. Same thing with Sunday perpetually being the weekly Sabbath. Like a hamster wheel doesn't stop for nothing. It just doesn't exists. It can't happen because Sunday perpetually isn't the weekly Sabbath, as any other day of the pagan week can't be perpetually the weekly Sabbath. So nature's telling us, remember, there's three witnesses to know truth of any subject matter. The Most High gave us the Spirit of Yah within us to discern. And then you have the Word of Yah from the Hebrew context to discern truth, and then the third witness, and they never contradict each other, as I've stated as a glad refrain on this broadcast. The third witness is creation, nature, the heavens and the earth declare the glory of Yahweh. Psalms 19 says that. So the heavens and the earth, you know, it does say the stars, he telleth his word by the stars. So even though many don't believe in books, the Most High wrote his word in the stars in the heavens, you see. That's why it's scriptural or Hebrew astronomy, okay, and Hebraic cosmology and Hebraic concepts, because it's pictograph. Hebrew is pictograph. you know, like the old saying, a picture's worth a thousand words. So this is why the sun, moon, and stars, they don't lie. And he tells his word in the stars. He says it before man ever got a copy of it in a printed page, in a book form. He already wrote his word in the heavens, man. You know, so that even with man tampering and man's script and so forth, Yah's word still prevails in the heavens. It's still there. So Hebrew astronomy is the Most High communicating to us what his will is for us and mankind on the earth, generally. But astrology is man trying to divine or devise discernment for what it applies to them individually, generally speaking, as in a general sense. So you have scriptural astronomy or Hebrew astronomy versus man's astrology to try to, you know, what can I get out of it generally? And of course, I know it goes deeper than that. But the 12 signs of the zodiac were originally signs for the 12 tribes of Yisrael. Because if Ra'el is the counterfeit, that's why they've hijacked the true term and put a false term, is for Isis. Ra, again, we talked about this for Egypt, right? The Egyptian idol, Ra. And then you had El, which was the Canaanite deity, okay? So these were not the true Hebrews. These were the Edomite, Khazarian Jews that come out and say they are Jews but are not, but of the synagogue of Satan. And many would say, well, Watchman, that's pretty anti-Semitic. I said, well, no, how can I be anti against myself? Because I'm not a Jew, because there's no J in the Hebrew language to begin with. It's all a counterfeit construct that they've erected in place of truth, you see. And so Edom, who is Esau, right? That's the question. You know, Jacob hath I love. We'll get back to the Sabbath in a second. We're having a rabbit trail. Fun time here now. You know, who was Edom? Well, Edom was Esau. And so who is Esau? Well, it's Edom. And who is Edom? Well, I think Psalms 83 talks about Jacob hath I love, Esau hath I hate. See, Esau and Jacob were twins. They had the same mama, same daddy. That's right. So it wasn't an issue of genetics. Because don't matter what your race is, it's about your spirit. Not matter what bloodline you're connected to, it's what your kind of spirit you're made of. What kind of spirit are you? Because you're a spiritual being. We've talked about it many times. Here on the Watchman on the Wall broadcast here on Revolution.Radio, FreedomFlip.com, freest place to be. There's no question about it, folks. We're spiritual beings, and Esau was told by the Most High. The Most High stated this about Esau: Jacob hath I loved, but Esau hath I hated. Why did he make a statement before he was ever born about him? He hadn't done anything wrong physically now, because he wasn't born yet. It's because, as a spiritual being like we all are, Esau must have done something in the heavens that really ticked off the Most High. That's one reason. Of course, we know the Most High knows that Esau would have been a sellout because he sold his birthright, you know, for a bowl of porridge to his brother, twin brother Jacob, Yisrael. That's his real name. See, Jacob's real name, right? Yah changed it from Yaakov. Okay, that's how you really pronounce it. Instead of Jacob, there's no J, right? Is Yaakov. He changed his name to Yisrael. Not Israel. Not Is for Isis or Ra for the Egyptian idol like we talked about. Not El for the Canaanite deity. No, it's the counterfeit. That's the Edomite Jews, you see, that are subservient to as being papal court Jews, you see. You see, because they submit to Rome, even when you look in the Hebrew text, when the Messiah, Most High Yahweh of Nazareth, came in the flesh, Rome was ruling, and you had, yes, the papal court Jews that wanted to keep their power, that still had to answer to Caesar. They were paying taxes to who? Caesar. Who was working for who? Who was serving who? Right? Nothing's changed. It's except for tactics, covert means, right? And so the Khazarian Edomite Jews reject the Messiah. Now anybody, I'm not trying to pick on any race could come and be restored. That's why the Messiah came and died, was buried, resurrected on the third day, put his arms outstretched before he gave up the Ruach, his spirit, before he gave up his spirit, he opened his arms for both seed lines. You know, the serpent seed of Cain and the seed of the woman, Adam kind. Because as we talked about it before, Adam didn't father Cain. Satan did. So let's get back to the subject matter. The Sabbath. So they've tried to, the Edomite Jews have tried to hide the fact that the Sabbath is by the moon. Even if you go into a Jewish encyclopedia, they'll confess and tell on themselves, and they'll say they admit that the original Sabbath was by the moon. They'll admit that right there in the Jewish encyclopedia. They'll tell you that. But go figure, they ain't observing it. Why? Because they're just disobedient, apparently. Now, anybody, again, can come and repent and everything. But again, there's nothing to convert to. There's no religion to go to, no building to go to. Again, you are that building. You just get in Yah's government, and that's why these judgments, testimonies, and statutes that we're talking about represents the Most High's government, and the fourth command of his government, you see, is the Sabbath. And it's not Saturday or Friday night, Saturday perpetually. It's not Sunday perpetually. Again, it's not Thursday night, Friday, as Islam perpetuates. You see, they'll use the crescent moon. Islam will use the crescent moon to start their pagan new month. Same thing with the Jews. They'll use the crescent moon, but they'll flip it on the other side. Both are incorrect. And of course, Christianity don't use the moon at all. So they're all three wrong. Okay, because you got to use the full new moon, the full new yellow moon to start the count. You got to get to the first day of the month before you can get to the seventh day of the week. And that's happening every month, this reset of the new full moon's lunation. And so Saturday perpetually can't be the Sabbath. And for those that say it's the seventh day of the week, perpetually Saturday has always been that way. No, go back into your history books. As I've mentioned, Saturday represented Kronos, first in time, first in line. Rome openly admits they changed their own calendar, and they have the right to do that. They did just that. Except it just never was true time to begin with. It's a time warp, right? So they changed the first day of their Roman week, Saturday, to make it now the seventh day and put Sunday as the first day of the week, you see, because they wanted everyone to worship the sun. They venerated the sun, you see. So for those that continue to say specifically Seventh-day Adventism, Messianic Judaism or Judaism in general, saying it's Friday, Saturday, well, they're not using the sun, moon, and stars. Because, again, the Sabbath day had twice the amount, the new full moon day had twice the amount of sacrifice required than the weekly Sabbath day, so it couldn't share time and space. Just to digress, to get back on point, the Sabbath day is always in Scripture. There's in the Word of Yah. Okay, in the Hebrew text, not the Scripture in the Greek or the Bible of the Greeks, if you will. Even though he's translated and caused it to be in all languages, and yes, Yah's word can be discerned and deciphered through that. Keep in mind, in the Hebrew text, in the Word of Yah, even in your own translation, there's 18 pinpointed texts that tell you the Sabbath, weekly Sabbath day, is on the eighth day of the moon. Full new moon being the first day, then half full moon is the eighth day, waning. Then six more working days to the second Sabbath of the moon. It's invisible, remember? The moon is invisible for 3 to 5 days. That's the 15th day of the moon, the second Sabbath. Then when you get six more working days after that, you get to the next half full moon on the other side. The light of the moon's on the other side now, diminishing waxing, not diminishing, increasing, not diminishing. It's a half full moon on the other side. And then when you get that last Sabbath of each moon, or that last Sabbath of the moon, you'll get to the 29th. That's that white, appearing to be a full moon, but it hasn't turned Yahrik or yellow yet to get to the next reset of each new full moon. Because that's a key point, is getting to discern what is the true new moon to start the count correctly. Because if you use a sliver, You're using Judaism sliver, or you're using NASA's dark moon that don't use the moon on the wall, called the Gregorian calendar. They say the new moon's a dark moon, but don't use the moon at all. Then you're giving you a faulty opinion of when it starts. In the, you know, the lunation, yet they'll give you July 1st, August 1st, September 1st, you know. And it's all fake time warp. So, time warp, Lady Horse, hallelujah. Anyhow, so when you look at, she really was giving me that video, as I was saying, it was, you know, giving everybody in chat, but that I appreciated it because it brought back some memories. Thanks again, Lady Horse, for that. So when you get back to true time, it's definitely not January through December. It's not Sunday through Saturday. The Sabbath isn't Friday perpetually or Saturday perpetually or Sunday perpetually. It's the 8th, 15th, 22nd, 29th of the full new moon's lunation. That's how you discern it. That's how you figure it out. The Most High said in Genesis 1, he gave the sun, moon, and stars for our days, our weeks, our months, and our years in the Hebrew text. It comes out and tells us the Most High doesn't need time. We need it to discern where he wants us to be with him. Now, he uses the weekly Sabbath as a date. The Most High, he loves us, and he says, I want a date with you weekly and all my other appointed times, but this weekly Sabbath, the fourth command, you know, because there's a lot of people that tell you, oh, yeah, the Ten Commandments, the law of the land, you know, it's derived. The Constitution was derived by it. Well, again, the weekly Sabbath day is not Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. It is by the full new moon. It's resetting everything. A half full moon is the first Sabbath that's waning, right? The second Sabbath, I'm trying to create a word picture here, hopefully. The second Sabbath, it's invisible. It's dark moon. It's 15th. Then the 22nd, you'll see a half full moon again. And then the 29th again, you'll see that white full moon. So just to kind of give you a word picture, hopefully that helps. We don't got visuals or video. That's why we're radio. Face for radio here. This is the Watchman on the Wall broadcast on the Watchman on freedomflip.com, revolution.radio. We'll be right back after these short messages. Support the network at freedomflip.com. Freest place to be. Be right back. Thank you. Stay tuned.
Revolution Radio at freedomflips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Did you ever feel that things were not quite right? That everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Looking good, looking good. Hi, I am looking good.
Hello, folks. Karl Marx here. I was just taking some selfies. I look particularly good today. The humidity is just right for my hair. One more. Okay, two more. Ah, wunderbar. Looking good, Karl.
Want to learn more about the Marxist agenda and other important stuff? Listen to The Ultimate Remedy with L.B. Bork, Tuesdays, 6 p.m. Eastern, right here on Revolution Radio.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We gotta stop them! They're gonna kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being!
A time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
All right. Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Welcome back to the Watchman on the Wall broadcast. I'm the Watchman. You're listening to freedomslips.com, revolution.radio. Freest place to be. And freedomslips.com, revolution.radio is the number one listener-supported network. Internet radio station on the World Wide Web, and definitely need your support to continue on. Freedom, again, is not ever free, as the saying goes, and we want to contribute to any way that you can. Buy some shirts, get something back for it if you like to do that. It's all there, freedomslips.com. There's a Patreon switch there. You can contribute, you can mail in tinfoil cash, however you like to do it, Lady Horse. She'll take it, does a great job of helping continue the network's finances. And again, no one's getting paid for this, folks. So contribute, support the network. Freely have received, freely give, because we don't know how much time we have left on this kind of platform, this kind of radio network. Eventually, one day, they'll probably pull the plug. And who knows if we're getting – I know in Ethiopia – they pulled the plug on the internet for like 2 or 3 weeks now. Go look it up. I read an article about that a couple days back. And so they don't have no access to the internet. I don't know if it's back up now, but it was like gone on for like 2 weeks straight. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, myself, I can't wait for none of this stuff to work. All these gadgets. That's just my opinion. I can't wait to just reading out of a book only. You know, these devices. Yes, it's great. Tools, but man, eventually one day you're not going to have access to the internet or any of that broadcast like revolution.radio. Eventually, all those radio stations online will be offline. If there was an EMP, you know, electronic magnetic pulse, what would you do? You got a Faraday cage, you got your important cell phones or gadgets or devices already in a Faraday cage, you prepared? It's the only way you're going to be able to save them, because they'll dry up and fry up an electronic board, probably all destroyed if you don't have no protection like that. So this is not fear mongering. I mean, that's just a reality. Eventually, we've seen the whole world be conquered already by this corona, this covert COVID, right? Undercover, not telling us the whole truth, right? Then, hey, and what's really sad is you got a lot of people that have this egotistical spirit about them that, well, it can't happen in America. Could never happen in the great old US of A. Haven't woke up yet? I guarantee you there's someone out there like that. Oh, well, this is nothing. Oh, really? This is nothing? The whole world's been affected by it. So, anyhow, just a little rant there. No COD, you don't cover charges. That was free. Not that it was worth anything, but yeah. All right, so we might have a special guest after all, or two. Love to have you guys come on in. Host chat, come on in, guys. Let me know. And we can go over the issues of the day, yesterday, the week, what you forecast, prognosticate. But we're looking like the fulfillment of all those signs I was opening the broadcast with in 2 Baruch 27 through 29 or 30. As I, you know, for those that just picked up on the broadcast, we were talking earlier, the subject matter has been the Sabbath, and we've covered it pretty much. There's, of course, there's always more to that. But the sign that you would know you've reached the apex of end of days scenarios, you know, what many call doomsday scenario, where there's a 3.5 or a 7-year period called the Great Tribulation. Well, many are asking, you know, are we in that? Have we started that this year? In my honest opinion, I think we have. I hope I'm wrong. I hope, again, we got lots more time to prepare, hopefully. But I just don't see it happening. Okay? They've got the throttle maxed. They got the pedal or the metal to the pedal. And who's they? Again, it's this Jesuit Vatican-led New World Order with the, you know, the Zionist Jews right underneath them with their Freemason buddies. Yeah, those dastardly devils. Yeah, their evil deeds are going to be made known. Manifest what's done in darkness going to be shouted on the housetop in the light. Yeah. So, I mean, let's look at some of this stuff. I wanted to talk prophecy a little bit the second hour and end time scenarios we kind of started with. And I've just been doing a lot of research on some of this stuff that's come to my attention. Because a lot of people, and again, I hope I'm wrong. I hope we got 20, 30 years. Like, I mean, who knows for sure how long we got? I hope we got more than that. You know, I know a lot of parents want to see their children grow up, you know, get married, get a high school diploma and graduation and get, you know, go to college, get a degree. I know a lot of folks out there that have those dreams still. But really, it seems like those dreams now are more like a nightmare and doesn't look like a possibility or a reality to even hope for. I mean, it's like, and again, I'm not doom and gloom. I always try to look, you know, for the silver lining in anything. I know it's important to stay positive, and I agree. You know, we keep positive, keep your vibration high, keep your spirit high. But let's also be not naive either. Like, I love what Ivy West, she had a great bumper. You know, if your head's stuck in the sand, then your tail's a target. Kudos. I think was that Steven that you did a great job with her on that bumper? Man, classic. Love it. Love Ivy West's broadcast. She brings it every week. She brought it last broadcast too. But we're going to just look at some of this stuff. Like I was looking at, the number 9 in the Hebraic context from what I've researched, and if anybody thinks I'm wrong, then show me why I'm wrong. But from what I've researched, the number 9, I know the Gematria effect, Zach Hubbard does a great job. And I know Mechanics into that too. He's really good at that as well. But the number 9 in Hebrew is judgment. It's just judgment. And I know, look, I prefer to have Trump in there than Killer any day. I'm glad he's in there than Killary, because this would have been way sooner if Killary would have been in here, right? We can, I think, agree. Majority, anyways, that listen to this kind of broadcast, this network broadcast, or just this network in general, got so many great hosts, so many talented individuals that bring in every broadcast they put forth. But nevertheless, when you see certain things, and don't put all your hat or all your eggs in one basket in the number thing either, but it's important to know there is even a Hebraic book called the Book of Bemidbar. It's a Hebraic pronunciation of what we call numbers in English. Bemidbar is the Book of Numbers. There's a whole book dedicated literally to numbers. It's the fourth book. You got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, right? Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's the government of the Most High. Yeah, he has a government indeed. And that's revealing those first five books, what they also call the Torah, which means instructions. And that gives us an insight to the Most High's character and nature and how his government is to be lived out on the earth, even now, even currently. Of course, there's some alterations. We don't have a temple. Our body's a temple. There's no building to go to. You're that building, as we say, is a glad refrain. Aren't you glad you don't got to be in religion anymore? You don't have to go ahead and feel coerced to give something when they pass the plate. What a joke. And you know what's sad? I used to be a part of that. And I had to just honestly say, Father, forgive me. And I did. And even when we pastored for 7 years, I never passed a plate one time. I always felt like it was wrong. I always felt there was something wrong. You know, I felt like if people were going to give, they would go in a closet, like you said, when you give, you know, give in secret, that they would give because they wanted to, not because they're feeling coerced to give. And you know, folks, if you feel like to support the network, it's a good cause. It's worth something to give to, because we really need to keep it going. And I mean, Tones, the staff, the rest of the staff, a Mad Painter, incredible general manager, like I said, Lady Horse, Monster 383, Pat Rabbit. I mean, you can just go down the list of talent on this network. Mr. Rowe. I mean, it's just incredible. I don't want to miss anybody. And if I have, excuse me. So, of course, Mitchell Buffett. I mean, his show is political satire. Woo, incredible. Thanks, Mitchell, for the laughs in the morning, man. And, of course, it just goes on and on, the talent. Of course, Willow's World, the poetry in motion, the incredible talent. The voice that soothes your heart in the, I mean, when you're listening, it's, I mean, it just goes on and on. And no one's paying me to say it. I don't expect to get paid. I just say it because I hear these talented folks that are giving their time and life to this network. And thanks to Nighthawk, you know, starting it and the vision, and these people are keeping it alive. And of course, Tones just getting it all done, bringing it. And, anyhow, so much talent, so many great broadcasts. If you don't like me, there's 80 or almost 100 hosts that you can choose from, and I'm sure you'll be happy. So we've got some guests here we want to bring on the Watchmen on the Wall broadcast, and we're grateful for his broadcast. Incredible, incredible broadcast. Just always bringing it. And we're grateful that he wants to come on with us. And we're just going to say greetings from the great, I love the land of Turtle Island, but this one spot called Yawa. It's actually Iowa in a modern day sense, but it was originally pronounced Yawa. And because native tribes go back to the tribes of Joseph, tribe of Joseph originally. That's why you say Yawa. Yah, they'll do all the powwows, right? Because they know the great spirit, the one Most High, Yahweh, the Messiah of Nazareth. They'll say Yah. That's right. Whereas most majority of Christianity and Islam and Judaism don't know it or won't say his name. Native people, we haven't forgot the Most High's name. And anybody else, too. It doesn't matter. It's not just about race. It's about grace. So, Mr. John Wayne, thank you for.
I think you hit your mute button. But yeah, thanks for, you invited me on a while ago. I've been busy today doing a few things. And, you wanted to speak about, excuse the dogs there. You wanted to speak about, prophecy. And I found something really interesting here lately that I come across a video of a guy just, off of YouTube. Can't think of the guy's name, but somebody sent me a video of his here not too long ago. And today I come across another video, and he was talking about saying that he's got two separate sources saying that he, telling him that, I guess, from high up in the Pentagon and other sources, that sometime around September, they're expecting a planetary strike. And they say we're getting ready to go through this asteroid belt. And it ties into scripture with, the plague of hail. Every stone, the weight of a talent. And man was blaspheming God for the plague of hail was so great. And with the timelines that he was talking about with his two sources tie up with my timelines from my two sources, which are completely separate from these other two individuals. So I just figured, I find it interesting that I think one of the next things we're going to see is we're going to see a massive, on the level of a cataclysm. We're going to see an impact event in a major metropolis area somewhere on the globe.
Yeah, I've heard that. I think it does have a possibility. We'll see. We'll wait and see. But there is many Hebraic texts and talks about there'll be signs in the heavens and then in the stars. And you see a lot of these falling stars, comets, et cetera, et cetera. You're seeing more activities in the luminaries. There's no question, John Wayne, that we need to start looking up instead of looking down on all our cell phones, which we seem to do. It's funny, we talk about many talk about the mark of the beast, right hand and forehead. Well, you got your, I don't know if it was you that brought it up, but someone on the network brought up about how we got our cell phone in our right hand and we got our forehead down looking right on it. And maybe a play on words, but it just everything now seems to be now geared towards looking at prophecy, looking at the narrative from the Most High's perspective, from the Hebrew context, of course, not because a lot of the Greek, as we talked about, translations have been manipulated. But again, for every counterfeit or hypocrite, there's still the real McCoy. You don't throw the whole thing out just because, again, like I said, the Most High wrote his word in the stars. He tells his word in the stars. Read Psalms 19. And so before there was a printed page, remember Adam and Eve, John Wayne, how Yah spoke to them. There was no book or page or chapter that they turned to when the Most High spoke to them. It was an audible voice. The Most High walked with them in the cool of the day. There was no printed page. So, the Most High, like I said, speaks to us more than just in a book form. It's just those three methods, Spirit of Yah, Word of Yah, he doesn't contradict, and of course the creation of Yah, the luminaries, and so forth. So we need all three, as we state many times, a glad refrain on this broadcast. So John Wayne, what do you think, in your humble opinion, your honest heart opinion, what do you think concerning what you discovered there? Do you believe that there's a real possibility, a slight possibility? Where are you at on that?
50-50? I mean, I think from not only the research that I've done, but the contact I'm in with a couple of different astronomers and things to this effect and their timeline. And, one of them uses a lot of scripture. I mean, not per se scripture, but Hebraic text and other forms of literature. And from what I've come to find out is that this is a very valid. The changes we're seeing on the surface of the earth with the tectonic activity, the magnifications and earthquakes and, you know, all the volcanoes that are erupting right now is absolutely unprecedented in our modern day and age, and nobody speaks of it. You know, I think it's because they don't want people to get all worried and freaked out and scared because of, hey, man, yeah, there is something coming. And, you know, speaking of signs in the heavens and wonders in the skies, you know, I looked at that Neowise, Comet Neowise, what was it? I think Friday. It was either Friday or Saturday night. It might have been Saturday night. Friday night. It's last Friday night. And, I mean, and it's really something to behold. You know, I mean, it doesn't happen on a regular basis. And this comet, specifically Neowise, you know, just not only that, but, you know, the Neowise, the meaning behind it, you know, and the wisdom that we're coming across now, how, just how everything's taken place. But to see the comet and, you know, understand that it's not going to be back around here for 6,700 years, you know.
Yeah.
It's absolutely amazing. But to think about, you know, this, you know, I always have thought about this plague of hail for a long time, you know. I mean, ever since I was a child here, and the Bible read to me from my grandparents, my grandma. And, you know, it makes you wonder how it could be possible, but now we're seeing that it could very well be possible. You know, we've seen what now it's been three comets. You had Swan. What was the other one? Atlas, Swan. And then now Neowise, the first two disintegrated. And, you know, we're seeing the signs, but they're there for people to look up and see, but everybody's so distracted, like you said, Watchmen. And I don't know if that spell will ever be broken unless there is a major event that literally does shake everybody to their core. See, what this guy was saying from his intelligence sources was that there's going to be a major catastrophe that's going to take place in, you know, September. They're saying September, could be October. You know, we keep hearing these months mentioned throughout this year of something big that's going to happen. What he says, there's going to be a major impact event. From his sources, they're saying a major impact event in a major, a heavily populated area. And that's not going to be the only time. He said it's going to get more frequent. We'll have this September or October. That'll wake everybody up, and everybody will say, hey, man, we're in trouble. You know,
wow.
And then they're going to become more frequent, you know, maybe every 2 months, then maybe every 3 weeks, or, you know, but it'll become a more prevalent thing of these stones raining upon us.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting you bringing this up and the information you're bringing forth. Definitely correlates with a lot of prophecy about the stars in the heavens. And there is some event we know we're to look for. He does say when you see these signs begin to come to pass and lift up your head for your redemption draw. In other words, stop looking down below for the answers. Start looking up. You know, instead of having an outlook, we need to have an up look. And very interesting, though, that you bring that out. Thanks for sharing that. You know, another thing I was alluding to earlier about, we're talking about gematria just briefly, and to finish that point, you know, I think Trump, again, there's many people that believe, you know, they'll use the text in Corinthians, you know, the last Trump, that he's the last president. I'm beginning to believe that he probably most likely, I hope I'm wrong, folks, again, most likely will be the last president. You know, his number 45, okay, he's what, Trump 45, you know, Bush 41, Daddy Bush, Bush 43, Baby Bush, right? Okay, well, Trump 45, 45th president, 45 together is 9, which represents, in gematria, 9 represents judgment. Many places, again, if anybody thinks I'm wrong, then show me where I'm wrong, and then, you know, let's go from there. But the point I'm bringing out is, I don't believe it'll be Biden. I don't believe it'll be Hillary. I don't believe it'll be Obama. I think we're seeing the last president of the United States of America as we know it on this land, in the government that has been put forth on this land, that he's most likely, in my honest opinion, the last president selected. What's your thoughts on that?
It looks like that. I mean, it looks like that. And I mean, I can see how that could come to fruition. Because you look at the division within the country, not only racial division, religious division, political division, all these different forms of Cloward and Piven that they've put upon everybody, that they've completely mind screwed the American public. And whatever the outcome is come November, there's going to be an unhappy side. That just goes without saying. Now, what do they come to the point of, you know, full open armed rebellion in the streets? I mean, I don't know. I hope not. But with Donald Trump being the last president, I believe that that very well may be correct. Because after him, who else is there going to be? You know,
yeah,
and
as the government,
too,
yeah.
And the thing is, too, is, you know, he was falsely impeached. So
absolutely.
He could be able to run another four, you know, he could have a 3-term presidency because his first term is null and void because of all the bullshit that they've drug him through.
And I'm a political atheist, folks, but he is our best option. There's no question. He's given us more time. Again, like I stated, I mean, Hillary, we'd be in war by probably the first month of her term, man. What are your thoughts on that? Most likely true, eh?
Well, yeah, you know, well, I mean, they wanted to go to war with Russia. Right. We saw how hard they're pushing on that. We see what they've done in Iraq and Syria and Libya and Lebanon and Yemen and all these other places, you know, Africa. We've seen what they've done.
Right.
I mean, it's
Arab Spring,
now.
Egypt,
yeah,
Libya. I mean,
yep. You know, the murder of Muammar Gaddafi, all this weapons.
What did she say? You know, we came, we saw, he died. I mean, what a callous serpent seed. She's just a
vile.
Witch.
Vile individual.
Very vile.
You know, and I mean, I'm hoping that things start rolling and they start, you know, handing down these indictments of all these people that committed, you know, sedition against a campaign.
Yeah, she should be in prison for those 30,000 emails on top of all the other murders that she's been a part of.
Oh, man, everything. That woman doesn't walk a day without committing probably 10 or 15 felonies.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So as we know it, the greatest land of all time, Turtle Island, prior known, what they call the United States of America, greatest land, lower 48, and then some. But, you know, it's like, I don't see another president on this country. It'll be a new form of government that they want, a Marxist, communist takeover. And I'm telling you, the Most High, he's going to bring his judgment on all those wicked folks. We'll be right back here on the Watchman on the Wall broadcast. I'm the Watchman with John Wayne. We'll be right back on Rev Radio. FreedomFlip.com, freest place to be.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message. Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me death! a dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
My name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion. You can find me on Studio B every Thursday at 1700 hours Pacific Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too strange. I strive to take a neutral standpoint during the dissection of the topic at hand. That's Reality Extraction with Mr. Rowe on Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution. Radio!
Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Welcome back to the Watchman on the Wall broadcast here. I'm the Watchman with John Wayne here on revolution.radio, freedomslips.com, freest place to be. And we're John and I were talking about, well, some prophecy stuff, current event stuff, kind of mixed it together. A potpourri of issues. And John, you know, what's your take on timeline? What's your feeling about this September or October surprise, as you were alluding to maybe earlier, what it might entail?
Well, I mean, I've had several different theories, and I've mentioned something to a couple folks here not too long ago, and we're kind of seeing where this could play out, something I'd mentioned here within the past few months. And Seattle and Portland, I think, very well may be a catalyst for a major event to take place with, military moving in or something to round up the dissidents within these two cities. Now they're burning down police stations. I just
This is breaking right now.
I just put it on our host chat log. If you'd be able to put it in the station chat log, if you got the ability. I don't have the ability, but. That's one thing I see, but, you know, like I said, if this impact event or something bigger than that, or, I mean, I don't know how you get bigger than that, but, the Three Gorges Dam in China, they've got absolute massive flooding that's taking place over there right now. And, Stan Deo said that, you know, he was contacted by a Maori, tribal elder who had a vision and said that there's going to be a major dam collapse in China. Well, the only real major, major dam is the Three Gorges Dam. And then I suppose from what I'd heard is when they had U.S. inspectors to go over there and inspect the welds on this dam as they were building it, they were saying, hey, you know, these aren't going to hold. This isn't, you know, done right. But the Chinese said, oh, that's just the West trying to keep us from building our great dam. Well, now they've built it, and this Maori tribal woman, like I said, told Stan Deo that there's going to be a major dam break in China that's going to precede a major a super volcano eruption, and it's purportedly going to be the Taobao Islands or the Taobao volcano up there in northeastern New Zealand. And So we've got that going on. We can see how that could easily happen, them two events alone. And then, you know, an asteroid strike. I mean, I think there's going to be these events that are just going to continue to perpetuate and, you know, literally shake people awake. I mean, to a literal, you know, extent. Because if we have a dam break, that's going to be major news. 40 million, what is it? I think it's 40 million Chinese could possibly die if this dam gives way. It's that.
Wow. Yeah, that would be catastrophic, no question.
And that way, I mean, you know, yeah, and we'd hear about it around the world. It would make global news overnight.
Well, that okay, the dam you're speaking of, I mean, you've heard of the Hoover Dam. I don't know if it's the same thing you're speaking of, but if you fold the $20 bill, it talks about it breaking up, or it looks like there's a – you ever see someone do that where they fold $20 bill and there's
breaking up the Hoover Dam? Yeah, and I've seen that, and, you know, I wouldn't doubt that. I mean, let's say something was to happen to the Hoover Dam. Look at all the electricity that provides for, you know, not only Vegas, but, you know, all kinds of places. And then the water that it has there in that reservoir, it's used for people's drinking water. You know, I mean, if the Hoover Dam goes, the whole American Southwest you're screwed if you're living in the desert without water. You know, I mean, I guess it just comes down to that.
Well, Maim, that's how you get Miami. Maim is water, and that's life, or Kaim, Maim. Without water, there's no life. It's precious. I mean, our bodies are made up so much of what they say, 70-80% water.
And maybe a little bit more, you know, and the thing is all these changes are going to come regardless. We've been warned about them for many years, many generations.
And they're telegraphing it. I mean, if the Hoover Dam does go, it would be huge. There's supposed to be the vault line towards Tennessee, Missouri area. What's that?
The New Madrid.
They've talked about that. They've telegraphed signs for that. The Hoover Dam, obviously, on the $20 bill. What else are they going to pull out of their hat, you know?
Well, you know, I mean, if they could, you know, if it was them that wanted to completely destroy these fault lines or set them off, I mean, I don't know if they'd have the ability to. They probably do. I mean, let's not kid. But, you know, the thing that concerns me is on the Madrid fault zone, I think there's like 35 nuclear power plants that sit within and on that fault zone.
Wow. That's a lot, man.
Yeah.
that's intimidating when you think about it.
Oh, man, yeah. You know, and from what I've, you know, and they're saying that these bases that they've built underground, they're saying that they can't, that these things are probably not even going to work because the Earth is heating up with the approach of this extra planetary body. And, you know, they're coming to realize, well, hey, we dumped billions of dollars into these underground bases, and they're not even going to keep us safe.
Yep. Well, they'll collapse on them. There's prophecies, and like, I believe it's in Amos, where they dig their way into hell. They're building their own grave, like underground bunkers. They think they're going to be, oh, they're underground cities, sanctuary cities. And it might come off initially, but guess what? It doesn't fare too well with them in the end, bro.
Right. They'll end up becoming, you know, nothing more than fossilized human beings embedded within the bedrock.
Right. Right. yeah. Someone had posted in the chat that concerning that Trump had flipped on the testing. You know anything about that, John? The, you know, mandatory testing?
You know, I haven't.
Or vaccine.
I haven't had my ear to the rail on that as much. I saw where the president was saying that the stars and bars, you know, is a proud symbol of the American South, and absolutely it is. I saw where he'd said that, but I haven't seen anything about the vaccinations and these mandatory forms of this. But I saw an article I'd just come across right before we came on air, and I'll just read the headline real quick. Let me pull it up.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because it's kind of timely. I mean, I guess, especially with everything that's going on.
Well, we're tying it to the mark of the beast to some connection. I mean, from this HR 666, that's prophecy in time.
Right here. Get this. So this fits right into what you just said, the mark of the beast. So a Kentucky couple are fitted with ankle monitors and placed on house arrest for refusing to sign quarantine documents in Hardin, Kentucky.
Wow.
Right. So, I mean, and then the Mark of the Beast would be the exact same thing, you know, more invasive, obviously, by implanting something in your hand or in your forehead.
Yeah.
But it fits the same narrative, though. You know, these ankle monitors.
It's like a conditioning, a preparation. Okay, you can't go in the store without a mask. Another lie. But, okay, you can't go in the store without proof that you've been tested. Oh, next step. Oh, you can't go in the store unless you have your papers to prove you've got the shot or you can't buy or sell here, you see.
That's right.
So it's a progressive stage of conditioning the people's mind to be sheeple as they already acted. We've all acted like it, folks, at one time or another. Maybe we're all woke now pretty much here on this network, but majority are asleep still, man. Majority still sleeping. I mean, and I'm not just saying that, you know, I believe Trump is the last president of this government as we know on this land, you know, just to say it, I really believe that he's really the best option in the meantime, obviously, to keep, and I think he's their guy to begin with. I don't believe he's a loser. He's a winner. He's always been a winner. Do you think he would go in with, thinking he'd lose the second term? No way. It's all a pre-selection. Yes, they go by how, you know, they can switch the computer ballots, the votes. We know that. But nevertheless, the guy's been a winner in the commercial system that, sure, yeah, he was born with millions. But, yeah, he did make a lot more money with that. So, you know, he did show his mettle. I mean, this country was in a better economic state before this garbage went down. He proved that he could turn it around. So I'm not about, you know, being always negative about politicians. Even though I'm a political atheist, he did do a lot more economically than the alternative. That's for sure, bro. What's your thoughts on that?
Right. You know, he absolutely did. And, you know, I'm a firm believer that y'all appoints leaders.
I agree, yeah.
And, you know, whoever or whatever them leaders are about, they're human being. They're going to be imperfect in all sense of the matter because we are human being. We are fallen. We all sin. But I believe that Yah used Donald John Trump as a reprieve for this country to get back to him. And
yeah.
Everybody has fallen upon deaf. It's all fallen upon deaf ears.
Yeah, I agree with that, too. Majority still want to laugh, scoff, mock, you know, criticize, ridicule. It's okay. Read your books. That's fine. It's okay. It's free country, right? Free speech, right? Read your books. We'll read ours. Hey, the point is that I think more people are now more open to the Most High's word. And again, it's more than just paper. It was the oral word he gave to Adam and Eve before they even got a paper or a book like we talked about earlier. So I think people, you know, he tells his word in the stars. We're seeing the signs in the heavens. We're seeing that sign that he said, that one sign, as we alluded to at the beginning of the broadcast, how Baruch asked the Most High, when the end of days start, will just part of the world know about it? Most High said, no, the whole world will know that this sign has occurred, that everyone's experiencing the same thing, regardless of your kindred, tribe, tongue, or nation, or your culture. So, and then that ties in with the Corona thing, Revelation 6, Jacker and I and a bunch of others have brought out. So talk about end of days, end of times. I mean, yes, the Most High rises up kings or presidents, princes, prime ministers, and he sets down. And yes, he'll use an evil system and yet he'll even work through it. Yes, Satan has 7,000 years of the jurisdiction in this world. That is indeed true. But the Most High is using him as a puppet to see if people are going to turn towards his government instead of saying focused on man's government, thinking they've got to support man's government. And see, that's why religion lies. They say, oh, no, you got to support man's government because, you know, well, yeah, you pray for him. Yeah, you. But that doesn't mean you pledge allegiance to man and then have Yah's second place, because Yah says, I've got to be first, just like all these other systems in the world want you to be their citizen. They want you to have their, you know, your allegiance to them. The Most High, he's jealous over all of us because he created us in his image. And so therefore, he's the potter, we're the clay. And so he wants us to submit to his governmental reign. So it's definitely, you know, the writing's on the wall. People need to make a choice of allegiance. That's why we're here, folks, as spiritual beings, to test of allegiance. The war in heaven broke out. We talked about it, John Wayne, on your broadcast as well. You know, it's all about, you know, test of allegiance time, proving ground area on the earth, and follow his government, the Most High's government. And it's right there in the first five books, folks. Right. It's right there.
It's all around it. It's all around us, you know, and you know, either you see it or you don't. And that's the thing I don't get, how some people have absolutely no clue whatsoever. When there's people like us and many others like us, they're so far beyond awoken. That here we are white knuckled on this absolute insane roller coaster ride, hoping that we can come out alive on the other end. You know, and for the meantime. And, you know, with all that going on, you know, to sit back and observe how people are reacting is even more disconcerting, because there is a real evil in the land. There really is a true evil in the land.
Yeah, you're right. It's a delusion. In fact, the Most High says in Isaiah 66 that he says, I will choose your delusions. And in another place in Thessalonians, he says, because they receive not the love of the truth of Yah, Yah sends them a strong delusion to believe not just a lie, but the lie, and be damned. That's not my word. That's his word. So, and then people, you know, need to, you know, either address it or ignore it, or it's up to them. And no one can force anybody to anything. Everyone's got freedom of choice, free will, free speech, right? That's why Revolution.Radio needs your support. What do you think, John, on that?
And, you know, it makes me wonder where people are going to find their resolve when man's reign is no more. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
When everything is crumbling, there's no electricity, there's no food to be had, and everybody is starving. Where are you going to find your reprieve? Where are you going to find your salvation? Where are you going to find yourself at when man's reign is through?
Well stated. That's the truth, because we're going to serve something. You know, if you don't want to serve the Most High, you're serving something. Either you're serving your own fleshly will, or the other spirits that are not so kind and gentlemanly, that try to creep in people's lives, thoughts, creep in through your eyes, what you see, what you become eventually, what you hear eventually, you become eventually if you do it long enough. But I tell people, look, you know, I'd rather have the Most High Yahweh and not need him, than to need him in the end and not have him. And that's a glad refrain that I state a lot, because, you know, it's coming close, so close to the end, man, end of days, literally. I mean, let's look at some timelines here, prophetically speaking, since we're talking about prophecy here in the second hour with John Wayne here, the host of the Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1. Did I get that right, my friend?
Yes, absolutely. You nailed it.
Heard on Saturday nights on the pagan calendar from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on every Saturday night, Studio Day, and tune into his broadcast. He's got probably one of the top broadcasts on our network. Incredible following he's got, just because of the information. And what's neat about John, I love about John, I've been on his broadcast, is that he's a straight shooter, and he tells it like it is. And man, we need more broadcasters like you, man. I just want to thank Yah for you, man. You've got gifts he's given you and talents. And you're blowing the shofar, man. That's like blowing being a watchman in your own right, man. Thank you.
Well, you know, the way I look at it is, if you know something or you're aware of something and you don't warn people of what you're aware of before it could affect them, or if not kill them outright, then the blood's on your hands just as well as if it wasn't, you know, beforehand. Because if you don't leave to people in the, you know, if you don't warn somebody of something that's coming that could very well hurt them, you're just as responsible for them getting hurt because you didn't tell them.
Yep, indeed. And, you know, Ezekiel chapter 3, Ezekiel chapter 33 as well, those two chapters clearly tell you the duties of a watchman you know, that we have to do just what you stated. You know, if we see the evil, we say it. And if we're wrong, okay, you know, but we'd rather blow the trumpet than not blow it at all. And, you know, let's look at some timeline, like I was alluding to. You look at, okay, Satan has a counterfeit. And yes, that Israel, Israel 1947-48, created by the Balfour Britain, the British Declaration, Balfour Declaration, was 47 and 48, they became a nation. Even though it's a false narrative, even though, yes, it's evil, yes, we know it's a counterfeit. Jerusalem's the only blessed thing there. He said, pray for the peace of Yerushalayim. That's the true way to sing it, Yerushalayim. And so, because there's no J. So when you look at that timeline, 80 years is a generation at the maximum, according to the book of Psalms, that he said, when you see the fig tree, even though it's a counterfeit in 47-48, Yah will still speak to us at the level where we're at and where we're all witnessing to on the earth. And he said that generation, 80 years maximum, you wouldn't even see 80 years culminate completely. 80 years from 47-48 puts you at 2027-28. That's 7 years away. Okay. And then when you look at Trump, the only Western leader, or specifically the only U.S. president in the history of this country ever acknowledging Jerusalem as the capital, moving their embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, which is the middle letters of USA, Yerushalayim. If you anglicize Jerusalem, the middle letters of U.S., he's the only Western or president of the U.S. ever acknowledging Jerusalem. When did that happen? John Wayne, you remember? 2017, right? His first year of his presidency, right? So here, peace, the covenant of peace, or Jerusalem, if you will, or Yerushalayim, which means peace, literally, the city of the great king, you know, the peace, shalom, Yerushalayim, right? Shalom means peace, right? Restoration as well. It's bigger than just that. It's the restoration of Yah's kingdom on earth, his government on earth as it is in heaven. Now, he's the only Western leader, the only president to ever acknowledge that happened 3 years ago. 2017. Now, the first so-called 3 or 3.5 years of the tribulation, if you will, you have peace, so-called. So-called peace. We've been pretty peaceful as a nation from 2017 all the way to 2020. Wouldn't you agree with that, John Wayne? I mean, just a synopsis.
Yeah, there wasn't. Yeah, I mean, economically,
we're flourishing. Well, now, since, okay, the last, 6 months, we're going through this 5 months, since what, February, March, when this lockdown came, middle of March, all of a sudden, because he says in the last 7 years, the last 3.5, the judgment and the plagues are unleashed. Well, guess what? It's happening. And I don't think it's a coincidence. You know, the last Trump, we are the last president, in my honest opinion. But I think there's a lot of prophecy that backs it. What's your thoughts on that?
I look at all kinds of different things, and you know, the curse of Tecumseh from the Battle of Tippecanoe, the 20-year presidential curse, and every 20 years the president was either assassinated or died in office from natural means like typhoid fever or whatever it may be. You know, we're in the year 2020. This is an election year, and yep. If there's any credence to this curse of Tecumseh, man, I'm in fear for the president. I really am. I mean, we know that they've tried to grease him several different times, and they just haven't quite been able to get it done.
Well, we definitely pray for Trump. I really, you know, I know we're commanded to pray for the leadership of the, you know, the people in the world. Yah raises up, sets down. So we pray for the best. But I don't think, again, they'll bring in anybody else. And again, the powers that shouldn't be but are but won't be forever. I just believe that Trump, he's a winner, man. He's won everywhere. He's not going in. It's a selection, folks. Your vote, if it counted, show me the receipt. The paper ballots have been gone. You know, the hanging chads. Hello, Florida. Hello, Mr. Gore. Yeah, okay. So the mail-in ballots, what do you think of that garbage, John?
This is how they can subvert the election and throw the election in their favor.
If there is one.
Exactly, yeah. If there even is
one. He can call a war, but you don't sit again, unseat a wartime president, right? He's got so many cards he can play.
And when we are in war, you know, war is happening right now all over around the globe, and even here on the home front, you know, the domestic terrorists are raising hell. And, you know, it's interesting how you mentioned the gematria, you know, and I look into some
45-9, 45th president judgment. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, you know, I typed in NeoWise, and something that falls in along right beside NeoWise is, get this, God is here, Matthew. Spell God, Raymond. Call me Ray. I am the one. Then you've got NeoWise. Then you've got the Holy Bible, True God, ID Zodiacs. Ray's Code, God is real. Comfort, the God gene, God has come. Face Lord God. You know, so.
Wow.
You know, it's just absolutely wild to be alive in this time and be able to see it for what it is.
Right, right. And you know what? There was a multitude that John the Revelator saw in the end of the book of Revelation that no man could number. Of every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation, red, yellow, black, and white, and brown folks all over the world, anybody could engraft themselves into the bride of Messiah. It's a metaphor that we're in a covenant people. And it's and he said that in the end of days, when the end of time starts, he seals 144,000. Now, remember, eight souls got in the Ark of Noah, as it was in the days of Noah, the Messiah stated, as it was back in Noah's Ark's day, right, when he was building it for 120 years or so. Only eight got in, and as he was telling them, look, hey, there's going to be a flood. Water's going to fall from the sky, and they were laughing at him because they never saw water. There was no rain yet recorded falling from the heavens, so they laughed and mocked at Noah, you know.
What is this story, real quick? I don't want to run out of time. I wanted to ask you. I've been thinking of this for a while. King Og,
one of the giants. Yeah.
Yes, purportedly, the story goes that he literally hung out on the side of the ark and was fed through a trap door by Noah and his family.
Yeah, there's a lot of recorded sacred texts that talk about King Og, and also even it's mentioned in the Tanakh. That's fascinating stuff, no question. But as it was back in the days of Noah, just to finish that point, I know we're running, we got about a minute or so, if that. He said, as it was back in Noah's day, only eight got in the ark, and there was like 3.7 billion people, many experts believe. And you've got set double that or more here. That 144,000, that's not the only one that's going to be in the kingdom, folks. Sorry, Jehovah Witnesses, you're wrong. It's not that. That's just those who are on the earth in the end of days. And they sang the song of Moses. They were sealed with the Father's name, Yahweh. They were protected from all the plagues and bolts. So look at Revelation 7 and 14. Maybe we'll take it up for next week and touch on that. Thank you, John Wayne, for joining us. You've been listening to The Watchman on the Watchman on the Wall broadcast here on Revolution.radio, freedomslip.com, free place to be. Till next week, shalom. May Yah bless you and keep you. Take care. Over and out.
Thank you for listening to Revolution.